All right, we have about 10 minutes for questions, 10 minutes for comments or balance from you. Actually, that would be super beneficial if some of you have things to offer that you say, hey, I think this ought to be said about righteous reasons for being angry, and I'm not sure this was covered adequately, concerns you have, whatever it is. Things that came up in your discussion group. So who wants to take the floor? Oh, and I did bring along the whole prize bag. Although I will tell you as a word of warning, we had a group meeting up here. I went into this room back here to get my prize bag and to review what all's in here, closed the door behind me. That door does not open from the inside. So... anyway, it was a close call, but I knocked and someone came and let me out, so. All right, who has the first mic? We have somebody over here. Yeah, Gib.
Hello.
Yeah. Do you have a green light?
I'll talk loud. We seem to be bombarded by solicitations, either implicitly or explicitly, to be angry about this news story or that or someone wrong, someone else. And there's a difference between me being angry that my child has been wronged versus someone in Ukraine being wronged. How do we understand how to budget our anger?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That's a really important point. I think that God's given us a sphere of influence and a sphere of opportunity. I think that it's very easy to get outraged about things that we have very little control over, very little impact to us. And this starts to bleed into things tomorrow, but it's very easy. I'm ticked off about some situation in Ukraine. And so what do? I spend 3 hours watching YouTube videos and reading news articles about it. What good has that done really anybody? And it hasn't really furthered the work that God's given me to do, the part of the garden that I'm responsible for, so to speak. So I think that those are oftentimes, yes, this is evil, this is wrong, and what can I do about it? Well, often it's just I can pray about it, and then I just need to move on to dealing with the things that God's actually given me to take dominion over. So does that help? Is that what you're... So I think that's a really important thing for all of us because we live in an information age and you are bombarded with, and a lot of the goal of the news media and things is just, hey, tune back in tomorrow for an update, watch some more, read some more articles, whatever. And there's limited capacity that we have to... We're not infinite, right? So... I can't be angry about I can pray your kingdom come, your will be done. So, yeah, Jason.
I appreciated your illustration of the funnel. And the first question, was it wrong or right? And so therefore it's wrong. Then if it's God's kingdom or maybe me-centered, maybe wrongness, mm-hmm. Does it determine the level of our anger? Let's say it's something that is... my house rule and it was broken. Is there a delineation there of how we might respond? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's a good point. So there's, and this got into some of the authority stuff that I wanted you thinking through as parents, for instance. We do need to have house rules, right? And we do need to enforce those, but do I enforce that with the same vigor, my kid didn't close all the cabinet doors after unloading the dishwasher. David Hansen often, sadly, has gotten more angry about that than about, my child not behaving, not paying attention during family worship or something, not giving proper reverence to God's word. And that's a problem. So, yeah, I think within that funnel, yes, this is wrong. It needs to be dealt with. We want you to learn to close drawers and cabinet doors. But, there needs to be more time taken on this, and it's not deserving of the same level of indignation as God's commands. Yep. Yeah.
We spent a little bit of time talking about whether not being angry is, like, is it apathy? Is it sinful to not be angry when we ought to be angry? Or when there is sin within an area of our sphere of influence?
Mm-hmm. So what did you guys decide? That's a really important question, yeah.
Yes, we think it probably is.
That it is wrong, for instance, for Jacob to not be, and we can't see all that was going on in his heart, right? But for him not to be angry about what happened to Dinah.
Yeah, or maybe it's wrong to do nothing about it if it's within our area of influence. Mm-hmm. Do we have to be white hot enraged? I don't know that we do, but...
Correct. So there needs to be a responding and measure, and we're going to get into some of that tomorrow. And I think this is where I think this is a really good environment to deal with this subject, because I think these are the discussions. And frankly, I think some of us are going to come down in a little different places than others, or in terms of giftings and sensitivities that God's given us on particular issues, that some of us will decide, you know, I need to feel more strongly about Ukraine, and others of us will feel, you know, it's just not something that I really keep up on at all. And that's going to be part of being a body of believers together, a family of believers. And I think I would say that if I'm never indignant about sin, and particularly kind of going back to these spheres of influence, first of all, if I'm never angry about my sin and really saying, this is ridiculous, you know, this is awful, like this is wrong, I need to repent, I need to think about how God would have me behave differently, I need to ask for a filling of the Spirit, I need to strive after godliness. If I'm never angry about my sin, I've got a big speck log problem, right? So that's where it starts. And then, and obviously depending on scope of, you know, how big of a sin it is, et cetera, is going to also factor in. But if you're never seeing anything in the world to be angry about, that's going to be problematic.
This is related. You know, we talked in our group a little bit about, you know, we know there is righteous anger. We've been singing in Psalm 4 this week, to be angry, but in our anger do not sin. But God is described as being slow to anger, and we're commanded to be slow to anger. So what does that slowness to anger look like in the context of knowing that there is righteous anger?
Right. So let's start with God's anger. God, as I said yesterday, and I think nobody challenged me on this, I believe that God is eternally angry, that this is part of his holiness, part of his righteousness. God is eternally angry with evil and is enraged by evil. What's your question again? Sorry, I just lost my...
So what does it mean to be slow?
Slow, okay. But God is slow to act on that anger in most cases, right? I mean, he is willing to play the long game, and nations go centuries in rebellion against him, and he is not just smiting constantly, right? And so in a similar way, we need to be ready to say and to act that way, right? I see things that are wrong, and I'm willing to play the long game. I'm willing to pray about this. I'm willing to strive for change in godliness before I bring down the hammer on my kids, right? That the first tool out of my anger box is not, it's time for discipline, but I haven't instructed you well. I haven't shown you very well the beauties of obedience. I haven't shown you why these things matter. And that's, I think, where the slowness of anger. Now, with our kids, we don't have 400 years to wait and be patient. But there is a time for long suffering and waiting on God to work good things in them. And with our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? It makes me nervous. Some of the things that talk about, you know, the confrontation of one another, and, you know, there can be a police state within the church where I'm just waiting to pounce on, you know, and my main ministry is fulfilling Matthew 18 in your life. Well, You know, no, there's a godly example and offering hospitality and praying for you and laboring and encouraging you and where you're gifted and genuinely appreciating those gifts and trusting that God's going to over time shape and mold you in certain areas. So, right
here. Something that very much incensed our children was driving to church and going past a construction zone. How do we as parents handle that? Because my question always was, I don't want to let my kids think that the rules don't apply to those outside of God's kingdom.
Sorry, driving past a construction zone where they're working on Sunday or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's a good opportunity to reinforce with your kids that, you know, we need to pray that and long for a time when people will rest as God has called them to. And and I think that that's the sort of time when we can just pray for our nation and that sort of thing. So.
Hi. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe you've covered this or you will cover it. I'm thankful that they're being recorded.
Give me one second, Deb.
Yeah.
Parents, I'm going to have to let the parents go. Okay. All right, go ahead.
We can take this question just after, once we let people go. Reminder, the consecration service is tonight. Please be mindful of that, especially as we go kind of into dinner and after dinner. And then reminder for lunch today, the talent show rehearsal is at 1:30. So college students have an outing right after lunch. You guys go first, please, as well. And then also if you're doing a rehearsal, also do that. And then, yeah, please feel free to go pick up kids if you need. If you stick around, you can hear another question.
Yeah, please do not abuse our children's teachers by leaving your kids there for an extra, even 5 minutes can feel like a very long time when you're on the opposite side of the nursery door. So, now, yes, Deb, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. I was thinking about the issue of not trading insult for insult and evil for evil. And in particular, Jesus said, the world hates me because I testify to the truth, that its deeds are evil. We are going to be persecuted for living godly in Christ Jesus. Cain killed Abel because Abel's deeds were righteous and Cain's were evil. So we're going to come up against evil when we're doing righteously by the world. And I'm just wondering, is that going to be covered on how to deal with that kind of anger from the world? And we have to be careful because sometimes we can be Cain if we're the one who's acting unrighteously.
Mm-hmm. I think you've just covered it, right? We're not to repay evil with evil. We're blessed when we're persecuted. We're to pray for those who persecute us, bless them and do not curse. We're given an outlet, you know, in precatory psalms. I just think again and again of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, we do pray that you'll remove those from authority who are going to use that authority and influence in these ways. But Psalm 83, we pray that you'll convert them at the cross and that you'll crush them under the cross. Crush them in your righteousness. But bring relief and vindication to your people. So, all right, maybe one more, and then I'm just going to let all of you go, I think. So what time does the lunch line open, 12:30? Is that right? Okay. Well, maybe we'll do one more. Can I hear from somebody who's under the age of 20? I mean, I can go 22. Maybe none of them have, oh, you got somebody there and we've got somebody here. Maybe I'll do two. I'll do two. Yes, ma'am.
You can come back to me real quick.
Okay, yep, I'll go over here first. That's all I was going to say.
If you're in my devotions group, listen up, because I was going to tell you this tonight.
Okay.
This is just something I, like, kind of practically that I was thinking about. Anger, especially, like, good or bad, doesn't always have to be reactive, because we were talking about in our discussion groups, One of the discussion questions were, what are three ways that you are like anger is not rightly, like unrighteous anger, bad anger? Like, how do you see that? And it was like in sports, or my siblings push my buttons, or like quote unquote sillier things. But something I've been thinking about is, in our Christian walk, we can learn to submit. Like, if I know my siblings can push my buttons, I can offer that to God and ask Him to be with me and help me in that. And it doesn't have to be reactive, but we can be proactive in our anger and like kind of sacrifice our pride in that area. Or it's like, God, I'm playing a good team on my basketball game tonight, and the statistics say I'm going to be angry tonight. And just that idea of being proactive. And for me, it was a pride thing in high school because I was prideful. But yeah, submitting that to God.
Yeah, I think that's terrific. Yeah, that our being proactive and being willing to suffer a wrong, and I don't have to lash out. I don't have to claim my rights. There's more important things for my sibling to be working on or to be focused on. There's a lot of sin in my life. God's maybe using this irritation to remind me, I really haven't prayed very much for my siblings at all today. And this is actually good for me to be reminded that, you know, my siblings are sinners too. And by the way, I'm a sinner. And boy, I shouldn't be as irritating as I am. So, yes, very good.
My question was, how can being provoked be glorifying?
How can anger, right here, in the red. Dan. All right, yes, ma'am.
How can being provoked be glorifying?
How can being provoked, like if I'm provoked by you coming and doing this, you know, 100 times, how can that be glorifying to God? Okay, so I think it can be glorifying to God. We've got to be careful, because me being provoked, like if you're doing this to me 100 times and me turning and stop it, that's not glorifying to God. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. That's the expression of the anger. Me being provoked to say, yeah, would you please stop that? If you keep doing that, I'm eventually going to get bruised. Like, this is, do you need my attention? Could we talk about something? That level of provoking where I say, this is wrong, I need to do something about it. Let's do something about it. It doesn't mean that I turn and scream at you. It doesn't mean I turn and punch you. But it does mean that I can turn and interact with you, and that I need to give this situation some level of attention. And so in that regard, being provoked can be being provoked to do something positive in the situation and to be a problem solver, not to repay evil for evil. Is that good? Okay. All right, good question. You get our Krabby Patty. All right, you're dismissed. Have a great lunch.